All righty. I'm Tommy Gregory. I'm the director of the Mississippi Agriculture Statistics Service, and I'm here to kind of promote our cropland data layer. I'm kind of excited about the cropland data layer because I spent almost 30 years, we were going to be making estimates on the cropland data layer someday. Well, we actually are now, and I don't know how many are aware of our lockup procedure where early in the morning we all, well, the people in D.C. who are working the cropland, they're locked up and they're looking at the data we've collected by mail and telephone and personal enumeration. And now they're looking at real-time crop survey data, satellite data. So we now have 35 states where we're making cropland data layers now. So there they are. For 2009, we now have 47 done right now. And we're working as hard as we can to get Florida done. So essentially, we're going to be producing the cropland data layer for the entire continental United States. It's an interesting thing to look at. It doesn't look like much, I guess, but this red here in south of Lubbock, that's cotton. And you can look over here. There's a lot of red here in the Missouri Boot Hill. There's not much left down here in the Mississippi Delta. There used to be a lot there, but it's kind of sad if you are a fan of cotton. But there's a lot of layers in there. In this index, you can see all of these different layers. Like, we'll just say number one, there's pasture and grass. And so that area there in Nebraska, it looks kind of like this kind of blank. There's nothing there. That's actually pasture and grasslands. There is something there. And it's really quite amazing. There's just quite a bit of information in there. All of that's available to you as a user. Now then, how do we use it? And at this talk, we decided that I should have introduced Fred Shore first. And Fred Shore, why don't you raise your hand right there? He is my co-author, and it's Dr. Fred Shore, and so that tells you quite a bit right there about being co-author. In Mississippi, we took the USDA's NRCS general soil map, and there's 1,326 different soils that they've designated in the state of Mississippi. And we just chose two of those. There's one here, they identify those with numbers. In the Sunflower River area, there's a number right there. It's hard to see the outline, but it kind of goes up and down like this. And over here at Deer Creek, there's another one, number 270. And that's the upper reaches of Deer Creek. And both of those were places that are just ideally suited for cotton. In Mississippi, in the Mississippi Delta, for millennia, as the Mississippi River would flood, all the creeks and rivers in the Delta itself would rise too. They would overflow their banks. And the first deposit was mostly sand. And as you got further away from the river banks or the creek banks, then the most of the deposits out of that river were clays. And so you can see there's a huge variation here in the Mississippi Delta. Mississippi Delta, for those who don't know, starts up here at Memphis and kind of comes in a crescent moon shape down like this. That's where the Yazoo River is in the southern part. And it meets Vicksburg right there. That's essentially the Delta, although there are Delta-type soils on down in the southwest boundary of the state. That's good land for growing just about anything, except this gumbo land, they call it. It's heavy, heavy clay, but it's really great for growing catfish. But catfish has bad problems too, kind of like cotton. But anyway, here's an outline to see a little bit better these two soils that I just showed you. Those are the two that we're looking at. Okay, now, what we did is we took that soil out first and laid that out as a layer, and you can see the boundary here in white. I don't know if you can see that very well, but now we've taken 3 years of cropland data layers and cotton. I'm hoping y'all can see this with the mouse, but right there with a pointer you should see that one boundary right there, and up here is the other boundary for the other soil area. Okay, we took the first year for the for cotton in there, and we sprayed that a light blue color, is essentially what we're doing, although it's all numbers in a computer file. Then we came around with a second year and sprayed another light blue color on top of it. So if the pixel was light blue for the first year, for representing 1 year of cotton, it's darker blue the next year. And then we did the same year for the third year. So some areas in here, especially right there, you can see quite a bit of this dark blue color, and that's cotton for all 3 years of the study. Down in these areas right here, this light blue, that was cotton only 1 year during 2006 and 2008. It was essentially cotton most likely in 2006, because we took the cotton that was there in 2006 and made that our base that we were studying. Okay, now then, let's go to the next one. Now then, the thing that's interesting to me as a statistician is we can take these images that I looked at for many years, and those were real pretty pictures of satellite data, but what in the world did I do with it? I didn't know what to do with it for many years. But now we can get pixel counts and count up and get acres out of all those. So we got this by two different soils here. We counted the acres in it. This 2,887, that represents land that was not planted to cotton in that particular soil at all, ever, in those 3 years. Down here, this 1,311, that was how much was planted to cotton 1 year in 2006. Now then, quite a bit of that land was also planted a second year to cotton, and quite a bit more, well, not quite a bit more, but quite a bit more than the other soil type, was also planted to cotton a third year. And that's kind of cropping practices in the Mississippi Delta. It's quite a bit of double cropping of cotton several years in a row. And now you can look at, with numbers, how many acres that occurs. Now, this other soil type, this is another area that's just as good a land for growing cotton. You can see that it started about the same type. Half the land was not planted to cotton at all in that soil. Now, down here, it goes all the way down to only 2,000 acres planted to cotton for 3 years in a row, 2% versus 10% in the other soil. So that's a significant difference. Here you can see the numbers again visually. Here is cotton in 2006 in this soil type over here. I assume y'all can see that mouse cursor up and down, but they got the boundaries in white in this case. Here's the other soil over here, and over here by Deer Creek. In 2007, you can actually see the cotton go away. In 2008, there's even less. And in 2009, there was even less. But essentially what we were just looking at before was those three superimposed on each other, and we wiped out all the other crops and put it on top of that cropland data layer. I mean, the soils maps. That was over here. Okay, let's go on forward just a bit. Now here we did the same type of thing with cotton. Same thing that we had statistics on. Over here, though, we have corn. And you see corn looks like it's kind of in the same areas that cotton is. And that's traditionally, corn is a great crop to follow cotton. And you can see that it wants to do it. Over here is soybeans, and you can see soybeans just goes all over the delta. And you see the definite different cropping patterns. You can calculate the same type of numbers that we did earlier with cotton on each of the other two crops. Down here on soybeans, the percent cotton for 3 years is essentially the same. It's down around 7% of the same ground soybeans for 3 years in a row. Over here on corn, it was virtually zero. That's 0.1% in soil number 1166, and 0.1% in the other too. So virtually nobody in those areas went 3 years planting those three crops, one after another. That's the same data in a bar chart. Way you interpret it, this is land that was not planted to cotton at all, and that was about half the land in that soil. In the first year, this land was planted to cotton, that much was planted again, and that much was planted 3 years in a row. So in corn, you can see where it went to zero. This was the first year of corn, second year of corn, and the third year of corn. I don't see a bar there, but Fred says, well, if I look very close, I see it. I see it's not there. Okay. This is just another way to present the same data on cotton in these same areas. It shows here's the cotton that was planted 3 years in a row in this dark blue. This was cotton, cotton, collared, cotton, 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 followed by corn. This was cotton and cotton, followed by something else. Most likely it was soybeans, but it could have been idle. It could have been anything. It could have been sorghum. But we just didn't. We quickly run out of colors to illustrate what we're looking at. So we just looked at cotton and corn and everything else. So we had enough colors to deal with. There's 2009, and you can see in this area, which used to have quite a bit of cotton in 2006, there's just a little bit there, but it's virtually no cotton was planted there in 2009. But up here in this soil type up here, they're not soil types, they're just soil names, 1166. There still was a lot of cotton relatively planted in that area. This one just shows our 2006 rotation, where the 2009 is put on top of that as the top layer. Over here, the last one, we took the 2009 year and put it underneath those 3 years. Okay. So, I guess as far as a general summary, I'd say you can actually do statistics. If I was an economist, I might be taking things like averages per acre from perhaps our farm cost and returns, and seeing why would certain areas that are good for cotton in one state, what would be different in a different state with the same types of soils. Maybe there's something in the farm cost of returns data that you might be able to tease out of there on a ratio. And the farm cost and returns data is at a state level, and it would be a just a interpolation is essentially what it would be, but it looks to me like that might be a good project for a student to do. All right, I've got just a few minutes. Did I go over or?
You're fine, you're great.
I'm fine.
We have time for a couple of questions. Do you have any?
Yes.
How can we access that, the data layers like this?
Yes. We can download them from our NAS website and headquarters, or we've got them on CDs, and almost any director could give you a copy on CD. So I would be easiest to get them on CDs because it's a lot of information even for 1 year. Yes, it's easy to get. I think if you go to DC, they might charge you $10 or something for the CD itself, but if you go to your state director, he'd probably give it to you. Would you do it, Becky? Oh, good. I put her on the spot. If you ask for it from me in Mississippi, I'll give it to you. Okay. Anything else?
I had one for you. Now, you had it translated into acres. Now, you were going from pixels to acres. How are you doing that?
A pixel accounts for... How much, Fred, exactly? Do you know exactly how much a pixel is?
It depends on the image that you're using. Mm-hmm. We use both AWIFS and Landsat images. AWIFS is 56 meters, and we've scaled everything to the 56 meter size pixel. And they're, just a couple of those per acre. So you can use the, I think it's 1.3.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you very
much. Thank you.